is Allison Carter with the Special Needs Podcast. I want to start off today by saying thank you for tuning in. Also, if you have any questions about sensory processing or anything else related to child development or special needs, please send me an email at Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com. I will respond to your email, and I will also address any of these questions and answers in the next show. I'm hoping to bring some real answers and accurate information to people on a wider scale through this podcast than I can do in just my private practice sessions. For privacy reasons, I will not use anyone's real names in the show if you put them in your email. My email is compliant with HIPAA standards, which means that it is secure and encrypted, both in receiving emails and when sending emails back to people. Now, I cannot diagnose anyone or provide specific medical advice. However, I can try to explain the sensory stuff by giving additional examples. I am not a doctor, but I am an occupational therapist with more than 15 years of experience in this field. I'm not just a mom who has opinions about the subject. I'm a professional, and I stay up to date on current research in this area. I have worked with countless families who have children with special needs of all types. I would love to hear from you, so please contact me if you have any questions or if you want me to talk about some other topic related to children with special needs, or just to let me know that you're listening. So, with that being said, I hope you had a chance to listen to the first episode about sensory processing, where I gave a general overview of all the senses. My plan for the next few episodes is to address each of the senses in more detail, and I will most likely give each sense its own show. It's not always easy to talk about only one sense by itself because our senses tend to overlap so much. For the sake of simplicity and for trying to find a way for people to really learn about each one, I'm going to do my best to stick to only one sense at a time. Just know that in reality, it's not that simple. I will probably say this a lot as I'm going through these shows, just as a reminder. In this episode, I would like to talk about auditory processing specifically. This is one of the areas that comes up a lot with the kids I work with. Parents have a lot of questions about this one, but once we talk about it several times, they can usually start to figure it out. As I said in the previous show, auditory processing is how our brains process what we hear. Trouble with auditory processing does not mean hearing impairment or hearing loss. In fact, most of the kids I work with will pass a hearing test at their doctor's office. A lot of times, parents have already had their child's hearing tested before I start seeing them. I think this is a logical step for parents who are trying to figure out what is going on with their child. A lot of parents will say to me, "We had their hearing tested and it was fine, but it doesn't seem like they can hear me sometimes. Maybe they're just ignoring me. Could be selective hearing." This is almost always a big red flag to me because it shows me that their hearing is fine, but there's still something else going on. As parents, we know our kids better than anyone else. And I've really learned this over the years, that when the parent feels like something isn't right, we have to really listen to that. Because if they're seeing it, they're usually right about it. In this type of situation, though, they honestly have no idea what is going on because most people have never heard of sensory processing or auditory processing. They're getting this feedback from the doctor that they passed their hearing test so they can hear fine, but it still seems like they can't hear. These conflicting facts can be so confusing. On a side note, many of the kids I work with do have frequent ear infections or just fluid in their ears, which does affect hearing tests because the eardrum doesn't respond like it should due to the fluid or infection blocking it. This will make everything sound muffled, which can affect kids' responses to adults and might eventually cause speech delays. If they aren't hearing clearly due to fluid in their ears, they will have trouble learning how to imitate sounds and words correctly. Whenever I work with kids who I suspect to have difficulties with auditory processing, I always have to consider this as a potential factor. To be clear, though, there are many kids who have frequent ear infections or constantly have fluid in their ears that end up getting ear tubes. The ear tubes help the fluid drain out properly, and their hearing tends to improve after that. This can clear up the hearing issue, but then we may see that they also have issues with auditory processing. This does not go away as a result of the tubes and ear infections clearing up. Here's what is going on with the auditory processing part. The main issue I see is with people who, for one thing, process what they hear at a slower pace than people with typical sensory systems. Where it might take most people a split second to process that someone called their name, and they are able to respond immediately by turning to look towards them or answer them. People who have issues with this take longer than we would expect for them to respond in some way, or they may not respond at all or act like they didn't hear us call their name. Unless you are analyzing sensory processing issues with your child's occupational therapist, you probably never thought about all of the other sounds that are going on in the world around us. That's because most of us are able to ignore those other sounds and only pay attention to the things that we or our brains think are important. For example, when you're talking to someone in your kitchen, you're able to pay attention to the conversation with that person. But at the same time, there are other sounds like the refrigerator motor running, a ceiling fan spinning, a door shutting nearby, the TV is on and volume at a normal level, or other people talking in the next room, a car honking outside, or millions of other things. When our sensory system is functioning as it should be, we're able to ignore these other background noises and continue on with our conversation. However, a child, or any person for that matter, who has trouble with auditory processing is not able to do this. They will hear every sound, even ones that we still may not notice even when we're trying. And their brains pay attention to every sound and it tries to process all of them. They are not able to ignore the sounds that are not important or relevant to the situation. So, this is how it's so complicated. Not only are they delayed in processing what they hear, but they're also trying to process every noise or sound around them at the same time. I would say this is nearly impossible to do. And then if you try to say something to them, most likely it has been lost in the shuffle and they did not and probably will not hear it at this point. This can make them feel anxious or overstimulated, which only makes the problem worse because then they tend to ultimately shut down or have a meltdown. Parents can't see this happening because it's all going on inside the child's body. So then it appears that nothing even happened, or they were fine one second and the next they just started throwing a fit for no reason. However, there are also sometimes when we might see kids covering their ears with their hands, trying to block out sounds, or going and hiding under a table or in a closet at home, trying their best to get away from the noises. It can look like a behavioral problem because they're acting out and being out of control, according to the parents, and they will tell me that once they get to this point, nothing will calm them down. They say that when they try to talk to them in a reassuring way, or try to get them to calm down or ask them what's wrong, this just makes it even worse. Which, when you look at it from the sensory point of view, you can see why talking to them after they're overstimulated from all the sounds they've been trying to process would not be an effective way of calming them down. You're just adding more sounds for them to try and process by talking to them, which understandably makes it worse. When it gets to this point, they're just done. They have to leave wherever they're at and go home, usually. Just by getting in the car, the child will usually either fall asleep quickly or continue being upset for the whole ride home and even for a while after getting back home. Of course, sometimes it won't be one extreme or the other, but these are the ones that I typically end up working with. The ones that fall asleep weren't acting out because they were tired. They fall asleep because their body got so stressed from trying to process all the noises and probably other sensory stimuli like visual and tactile on top of that, that at some point, usually once they're finally removed from the situation, they shut down, which is why they fall asleep. Their brain literally wants to shut everything down and take a break. The ones that don't fall asleep just continue in this stressed state until they get home, where they can find a quiet place or find something in a familiar environment that will allow their brain time to settle back down. or they may also eventually fall asleep when they get home. This can be a huge problem a lot of times for people when they're in public with their kids because of all of the sounds in the environment. At your own home, they usually do better because most of the time it is quieter at home than in public. There are usually less things to try and process, and their brains have had more practice with processing the sounds in their own home since they live there and everything is familiar. When we go out to a store, a restaurant, or any other public place, the sounds are constantly changing and are very unpredictable. For kids who have trouble processing sounds, this can be so overwhelming so quickly. The more the variety of sounds and unpredictability of sounds, the faster they will shut down and feel overstimulated. So, what can we do for this? Well, as with anything in occupational therapy, this is highly individualized. What works for one person may or may not work for someone else. We have to use trial and error to figure out what works best for each person. The main thing is to keep in mind what it is that is making them get overstimulated. Generally, that means there are too many sounds going on at one time. So, we want to find a way to keep sounds or noises down. Prevention is the best thing in this situation. If we can prevent them from having to deal with the sounds at all, or breaking it up so they're dealing with the sounds in smaller increments, you may be able to avoid a meltdown, or at least put it off so it doesn't happen as quickly as it usually does. You may be able to get through the grocery store, or at least get something to make for dinner, or get through a meal at a restaurant without having a meltdown. Since we can't control the public environment itself, we have to find other ways to prevent these kids from getting overstimulated. This is a lot easier said than done, especially when the kids we're talking about are younger than 4 or 5 years old. Some examples might be letting them use headphones to listen to their favorite music. Sometimes over-the-ear headphones are better than earbuds and vice versa. We'll take them in a stroller where they can pull the canopy or a blanket over themselves to try to block out sounds. You could frequently remove them from the loud environment to a quieter space for short times. For example, leaving the table at a restaurant and going into the bathroom for a minute where they can take a break from all the sounds in the loud room. Sometimes having a crunchy snack like crackers or carrot sticks could help because when they chew, they're hearing the sounds of the crunching instead of the sounds in the environment. Other strategies that might be calming for kids are ones that we will get into in more detail in future shows, but they should be mentioned here as options. For example, deep pressure by wearing like a slightly weighted backpack or tighter fitting clothes like Under Armour t-shirts. Having fidgety toys they can play with, or watching a video on your tablet or phone. These are only a few ideas, but there are so many more options out there. The best thing to do is consider what your child really likes and try to use that somehow in the process. I would really not suggest rewards or reinforcers in this situation because that just suggests that the child is acting out due to behavioral issues. And auditory processing is not a behavioral issue. Their body is getting overstimulated, which makes them get amped up or anxious, and they can't help but shut down or meltdown when it goes on too long. I would suggest trying things at home first, where they're the most comfortable and when they are in a good mood or when it's the best time of day. This should give you a better idea of whether or not the activities will work with them and if they will respond to it like you hope they will. If they don't like headphones on when they're feeling their best at home, when they're comfortable, they definitely won't want them on when they're feeling anxious or overstimulated out in public and trying them for the first time. With that being said, you also cannot try something one time and say it doesn't work. You have to try each idea many times before you can really get an idea if they liked it or didn't, or if it worked or didn't work. Most of the time, kids and even adults will be resistive to new things But as things become familiar, especially through repetition, we start to open up to them and we're more willing to give them a chance. I know that we would all like to find that magic thing that works like a charm every time, but it just usually is not that easy. The reality is that finding what works for these kids is a process. It just takes time to figure it out. I would also recommend only trying one new thing at a time. If you try two or more things at the same time and the child responds to it or it works, you won't know which one actually worked or if each of them would work by themselves. The last thing is, just because something worked or didn't work one time doesn't mean it will be the same next time. Sensory processing issues are complicated, and it can be an ongoing process to figure out what works in each situation. Most of the time, we're able to find some strategies that work more consistently than others for each person. Remember, though, these guys are not acting out. They just can't help it. A real life example came up this week with my kids at dinner. They were talking about a child they know that knows everything about fire alarms and smoke detectors. The child talks about these things a lot when they see him. When I asked him if he likes it when the alarms go off at his school for the fire drills or tornado drills, they said no. I don't personally know this child, but I have heard about other kids having the same reaction to fire alarms and other sirens that go off. Some kids that have difficulties with auditory processing will be scared of or nervous about alarms or sirens or other unexpected or loud noises in the schools and home and in public. These kids often take a particular interest in the things that cause these noises because they want to try and make them more familiar. When they can learn about the equipment that makes these horrible and unexpected sounds, they feel like they might be able to predict when the sounds will happen in the future, so it won't catch them off guard, maybe. Balloons and fireworks are other examples of unexpected sounds that can be scary to kids with auditory processing difficulties. At least the fireworks have a visual aspect to them, which could be either helpful or make it worse, depending on the child. Now, speaking of vision, I mentioned this earlier, but didn't get into much detail about it. A good strategy or just piece of information to keep in mind when you're dealing with a child who has auditory issues: you can try to use visual strategies with them, or say visual cues. When you use a picture of something or an actual object, this can be a visual cue for the child. The visual area takes a different pathway to the brain than the auditory processing does. So if you're having trouble processing sounds, you may have better luck bypassing this area and using visual information to help them get what you're saying. For example, if your child is at the store with you and you're finishing up, paying for things, checking out in line, but you can see they're just about at the limit of what they can handle, you could show them a picture of your car, either on your phone or have one printed out and keep it in your purse, the wallet. You won't have to use words to talk to them and try to keep them calm and explain that you're just about done and you'll be getting back in the car in a few minutes. You can just hand them the picture and they'll get the idea if they take the time to look at it. If you need to say something, just keep it simple, like, "Next, we are getting in the car." Like the other suggestions earlier, I would definitely practice looking at these pictures at home first so they become familiar with them and they already connect the pictures with your own car or your house or family members or whatever it is. You can talk with them about each picture in your own environment first, where they're comfortable and able to pay attention and actually look at it and know, you know, that they're getting it. Today I've posted an item as one example of a type of visual schedule that can be used with kids to help them transition from one activity to the next each day, or just on days when you need it. Please check it out on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com or my Facebook page at My Midwest Therapy. If you'd like to help me out and support this show, you can do that by clicking on any of my Amazon links on my website and do any of your shopping from there. Thank you so much for listening today.